Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm your host, John Kuzma, and this is the EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show. We're going to give you all the latest NFL news and updates from around the league today. I appreciate you guys listening. Check out EndZoneBlog.com for all your latest NFL news and updates. I had to say that again. Go check it out after this podcast. But we're going to talk about Cam Newton today. We're also going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and their wide receivers and why they could be the reason that Atlanta turns around. Let's actually start there. Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley combined for 18 touchdowns last season, and those two are hoping they can help the Atlanta Falcons take over the NFC South. Everyone knows Julio Jones is one of the best receivers in the NFL, but Atlanta has another promising pass catcher and second-year receiver, Calvin Ridley. Both players were coached by Nick Saban at the University of Alabama, and it shows on the field. Jones and Ridley combined for 18 touchdowns in 2018, and they also led the Falcons to a top-5 passing offense. They were actually fourth in the league. Atlanta still needs to improve their running game, but they have a bright future with Matt Ryan, Jones, and Ridley making so many plays through the air. Each of these receivers has what it takes to get open, and it's so exciting to watch. You know, Jones is a bigger guy, and he does a great job on drag routes and flag routes. Those plays help the 30-year-old wideout rack up 1,677 yards. You know, nobody in the NFL had more, and he's the reason why Ridley was always seeing single coverage on the backside. That proves how high of a ceiling. You know, truthfully, Ridley is no slouch, though, and he put up 821 yards and 10 touchdowns as a rookie. That proves how high of a ceiling the Falcons' 2018 first-round pick has. Hopefully, if Thomas Dimitroff can clean up the other positions on this roster, then the Dirty Birds should be able to get back to winning football. You know, most of the draft will probably be used on improving the defense, and obviously that would keep their opponents from scoring, which should give Atlanta an edge because they know they can't be stopped when they have possession of the football. This team is one franchise who can make a significant jump this upcoming season. There's just so many weapons, and it feels like they're starting to trend in the right direction. You know, after losing in the Super Bowl to the New England Patriots, it took a little bit before the front office started to get everything back in order. You know, but because Dimitroff paired up Jones and Ridley, there's a lot more to be optimistic about, and sooner or later, that's going to translate into wins. I just think, you know, you look at the great receiving tandems around the league. Last year, you know, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, you know, they're pretty much the bar. But a new tandem formed with, you know, Julio Jones, who's always been the ace, and then Calvin Ridley, who was one of the top wide receivers in college football at the University of Alabama. You know, actually, they both went to Alabama, Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. And these guys, they both hold it down. They're a little bit different. Like I said, Jones likes to run drag routes over the middle. He also likes to run a flag route or a corner route, which is where your slot receiver goes upfield about 9 yards and runs on an angle towards the sidelines. He's really good at those plays. You know, a lot of times you'll see Julio Jones go up above a defender and make a sideline catch that's just like unbelievable. He's done it plenty of times in his career. It's because he works those flag routes really well. And then Calvin Ridley's actually a little bit better at going vertical. Calvin Ridley scored a lot on fades, streaks. He's also very good on slant routes. Kind of the opposite, you know. There's some similarities because, you know, they both catch the football, but really the way they do it is a little bit different. Like I said, Julio's a bigger guy. Calvin Ridley is a little bit smaller, but that allows Ridley to be more of a deep ball guy. and stretch the field vertically. But, you know, obviously Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry are going to be another good tandem. But, you know, 18 touchdowns last year. I believe the Vikings guys had 18 too. So really in 2018, it was between the Falcons and the Vikings for the best receivers. Keep in mind, Mohamed Sanu was also on the Falcons roster. So they had the number four passing attack in the league for a reason. I think as the offense as a whole, the Falcons were sixth in the league, total offense. It was obvious from 2017 to 2018, the offense took a big step forward, went over 400 points. I think they were under 400 points in 2017. So the addition of Ridley really gave them the boost they needed. And that's going to happen when you have a rookie that puts up 10 touchdowns. Then, of course, Julio Jones led the league. So they're dangerous. Nobody really wants to play the Atlanta Falcons. They just got to get that defense taken care of because they gave up so many points last year. That can't happen if you want to win in this league. The next topic, Cam Newton is running out of time and he needs to overcome a shoulder surgery. Carolina might start looking at other options if things don't get back on track soon. You know, we've all been blown away by Cam Newton and Cam Newton's athleticism at one point or another, but things haven't been working out in Carolina. Most of the pressure has fallen on head coach Ron Rivera, but eventually Newton is going to come under fire for the lack of results the team has produced. You know, Newton has flashed glimpses of the MVP caliber talent that he displayed in 2015. However, he's been very inconsistent, and his arm talent sometimes appears to be good more so than elite. Don't get me wrong, there's been times when Newton has been able to launch the football deep. And the example that stands out is against the Saints in the 2017 NFC wild card. With the shoulder injury, though, it feels like if Newton has one more down season, then it could be the end of his time with the Panthers. You know, new owner David Tepper has high expectations after purchasing the team, and everyone's job is being evaluated. It's very possible Newton comes out and completely defies expectations, but it doesn't feel like, you know, there's a proper supporting cast to make life easier on their quarterback. In some ways, Cam Newton is going to take the fall for some of the team's problems, but there's also times he's looked unfocused. You know, after a while, those small mistakes tend to add up, and the former first overall pick isn't the only QB on the hot seat. You know, Matthew Stafford, Eli Manning, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, and a few others are in the same position, proven it's a make-or-break season for a lot of the passers around the league that we're familiar with. You know, Cam Newton has to understand this heading into the season, and there's no margin for error. Ultimately, it will come down to whether or not he can make some throws from the pocket and beat teams with his arm alone. So Cam Newton, we all know he's an athletic guy, but athletic quarterbacks take a lot of shots. They're typically more injury prone, and it's just hard for them to hold up against NFL linebackers. Running backs have a hard time holding up against NFL linebackers, and their bodies are more, you know, more prepared and built for the punishment they're going to take. So going the running quarterback style, unless you're Russell Wilson, who knows how to evade defenders and keep his eyes downfield. So even when Russell Wilson is evading, he's always looking to throw. A lot of these other guys, when they evade, they're looking to run. And what happens is they do end up running. They turn into a ball carrier and they take big shots. Cam Newton has been a guy that's been susceptible to this. But like I said, there's been times where he's put it all together, like the 2017 NFC wild card. The Saints barely won that game, but Cam Newton was airing the ball out everywhere, you know, all over the field, and his receivers weren't good enough to make the plays he needed. But to me, he's been inconsistent. You know, they had that other quarterback at the end of the season step in and throw the ball pretty well for them. and that showed that, you know, they might be able to win games with someone else. I just, you know, I hate to criticize Cam because he's such a competitor, and I hate to be the guy that just criticizes him, because there's so many other guys that deserve to be criticized too. But Cam is such a high profile athlete that when you speak on it, people listen and people want to hear about his story. And at the moment, for his story, being completely unbiased and just calling it like I see it, he is struggling a little bit. And it's getting to the point where, you know, Carolina's wondering, are we wasting our time with Cam Newton? Obviously, when he's playing at a top level, we've seen him be an MVP caliber player that can completely tilt the odds in the Carolina Panthers' favor. But if he can't beat teams with his arm, if he can't beat teams in the pocket, if he can't make the pre-snap reads, if he doesn't know where to go based on what coverages he sees, if he doesn't understand, you know, where his checkdowns are, and if he doesn't understand what routes are going beyond the markers on third down, things like that, that we see Tom Brady and Drew Brees process instantaneously, instantly. those are what separates the elite quarterbacks from the good quarterbacks. Now, Cam Newton is a good quarterback. A lot of people would love to have him, but Brady, Brees, those guys can carry teams year in and year out, and they're doing it more so with their mind a lot of times than they are with their arm. If you know where to go and how to beat defenses, then sometimes having not a great throw can still be a completed pass, because at least you're going to the wide open guy. Yeah, the receiver has to go low to dig this low pass out that's near the ground, but there's nobody in the area, so he can do it and he can turn up field, get a first down. It's things like that that are the difference between being a playoff contender every year and falling behind. I just, you know, it's hard to watch Carolina, because if Cam was on all the time, you know, they would be unbeatable. And is it all his fault? No, it's not. I even said, you know, in the article I wrote, he's going to be the fall guy. He's going to be the scapegoat. He's going to take the fall for all the problems that that team has. So is Ron Rivera. And a lot of it is, at the moment, they don't have enough talent on the field to compete. But at the same time, with Cam, it's also been, you know, the best way to evaluate it is he's been a B arm talent. And a lot of times, your arm talent is connected to the mental side of the game. You're not looking like a guy that has A arm talent because you're throwing the ball into coverage. You're throwing the ball into an area where two defenders are and things like that. But even so, he's not hitting the downfield passes and stretching the field like he needs to be. And eventually, when you aren't doing those things, your team's going to start looking at other options. It would be interesting to see him play for a different team. But I think, you know, he's got 1 year left. If things don't go the right way, we might see the end of Cam Newton in Carolina. But if he goes to a team that is loaded with weapons and it's built all around him, where there's just talent everywhere, like if he went to, imagine Cam Newton and Carolina or in Atlanta's offense, you know, with all those weapons. That would be really dangerous. But that's all I have today. I appreciate it. Check out endzoneblog.com. I'm John Kuzma. I'm signing off. Have a great day.